Rebel Yell Podcast on the Trib Live High School Sports Network on the road to Hershey. One round in the books. Four more still to go. It is a long tournament to win, making a state championship very, very impressive. Five rounds as opposed to the usual four rounds it takes to win WPIAL gold. But fun times as we are into the madness of March. Good golly, it's Miss Molly. Molly Rotman, our good friend, the outstanding head coach of the North Catholic girls basketball program. Yes, again, another WPIL championship here in 2024. Now they're shooting for state gold. Molly, congratulations. We appreciate your valuable time.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate you having me on.
It's like the old days. Except you don't have any kids locked in the basement.
I don't. They're all off at school now. Just the dog.
Now, we're taping this on Monday. I had touched base with you Sunday. You could not do it Sunday. You were a chauffeur on Sunday. One of your many duties. You're not just a coach. You chauffeur the kids, you burn the dinners, et cetera, et cetera. But you, you took your son, one of your sons, you have four of them, one of your sons back to college to Roanoke, Virginia, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, and then back.
Right.
So, I mean, that's, how long was it?
To Roanoke is about 5:45 or 6 hours, but one of his teammates is in Winchester. So that's like 3.5 hours. So we didn't have to do the full ride. Like we drove to Winchester, he hooked up with his teammate, and then that was the drop. Yeah. Okay. No, if it's a full day, that's a brutal one. It's a long one.
Yeah. I mean, have you done that before? Go back and go there and come back the same day?
My husband has. I have with my husband, and he's done it by himself once. I will not do it by myself. It's too long.
I mean, I did that. I got my three sons are out in Philly, and I did that once where I drove one of them back and then came back home. And oh my goodness gracious!
Woo. Yeah, it's a long, long haul for sure.
Do you like driving?
No. I get like narcolepsy on long car rides, and I have to fall asleep.
Really?
I mean, I don't have to. I don't really have narcolepsy. And anyone whose child I've driven long distances, I've not fallen asleep while driving. But yeah, I really kind of like to just fall asleep in the car. So yeah, I'm not a big car drive person.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, you do what you got to do locally. Right. But as far as jumping in and my brother-in-law, he loves driving, and I don't get it.
No, I know some people like that too. And they're like, no, just put something on and go. And I'm like, oh, no.
I mean, it's bad enough when I got to go through tunnels and cross rivers and stuff around here.
Right.
So anyway, so congratulations. We were just talking, you weren't sure. You've built this thing. It's a machine, and you've done a great job, you and your staff, of year in and year out. You know, you guys are a contender. You might not win it every year, but you're a contender. But you weren't sure as the season started progressing that this was a championship caliber team, and thus it makes what happened over the last 2 weeks and at the Pete pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely. We graduated 7 seniors last year, all who contributed. 3 of them are playing in college. Obviously, having Elena Rocco and Ava Walker and Sarah Lockery back, that was a great base. But we had a lot of spots to fill in. So early on, just wasn't sure, right? I mean, I knew that what we were in December, we would not be in February, but I didn't know if we'd be far enough along in February. And then we lose Ava Walker at the end of December. And that's a huge loss for us on a lot of levels. So I just really wasn't sure. And we have 2 freshmen starting and a senior that transferred in the middle of her junior year, but didn't play with us at all. Like when she came, she didn't play. So it's you know, they're all new. And then all of our, you know, all of our subs and stuff have all just trying to gain experience. So no, early on, I wasn't sure. Then losing Ava definitely was going to be a challenge, but they just keep surprising me in a great way, like different people stepping up and just their intensity level and how hard they're working on defense. I mean, that's why we're in the game with Blackhawk. They played really good defense against them. And so I'm really proud of them. Those are the ones that, you know, you really savor because
sure.
It's unexpected. So, and I know how hard they've worked.
You mentioned seven graduate. Is that a high number for you guys?
Seven seniors is a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Seven seniors is a lot. Usually get, you know, like this year we have three, you have anywhere between three or four, but not necessarily like all of them playing and getting time, but that last year they either started or were our subs right off the bench. So that was losing a lot. And, you know, losing Elena and Lauren Mim and Ava this year will be a lot, but we're not ready to be done with that yet.
That's right.
Right.
Hopefully a few more wins left in the tank. 23 WPIL championships for this program. You were part of, you, as a player, you won six, and as a coach, you won 48. Now, that math just doesn't add up. I think you were maybe, you know, expanding that when you don't know. You played in three, you coached 12. And like we were talking about before we started, I've had that same discussion with other coaches who have had championship pedigrees. And of course, here comes the media, and the first question is, oh, how does this compare to this? Or how does this? And the thing that they have all told me, and you said pretty much the same thing, is that every journey is different.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the beauties and the fun of coaching high school kids, right? I mean, it's always sad when some are over, but there's just, you know, you get 4 years and they're all different, and you see kids mature and grow in those 4 years, and every single team is different. The makeup is different. The leadership is different. The overall team chemistry is different. So I think, to me, I don't even know. It's just, I know this year. You know what I mean? Like every year in and of itself is special, especially if you're able to win.
Right.
And I do really think if you don't enjoy the journey and it's just that win or loss, you're missing out. And I would probably be all done because you're missing half of it. What the real job is working with teenagers. And I know that right. sounds corny, but it's true. And for these kids, they're so excited. Yeah. Everyone is different and special.
It's funny. Our boys basketball team of the week this week was Fox Chapel. I was talking to Zach Scringer, and he does a great job with that program. And he doesn't have the resume that you have, but he's won championships. And he was telling me that really at the end of the season, it's nice to have some gold, maybe even some silver, especially if it wasn't expected. But you know, all the things that you just mentioned, you know, why you're really doing this and mentoring and molding young men, young women to in a sport that you know and you love, and then creating relationships that, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, you've been doing this long enough that, you know, you have slide that in there. That you have for years and years and decades to come.
Right. I'm invited to one of my former players' wedding in September, and I can't tell you how many reached out and were at our Whipple championship game and the text that you get.
Right.
That's why you do it, right? That's why you do it. And yes, do we want to win? Absolutely. But I mean, I would hope that the relationships are ultimately the most important thing. And I just know how important and impactful basketball is in my life. It has put the best people in my life. And I mean that between people I played with, people I coached with, people that mentored me. Like, to me, my biggest reflection on basketball is the people it's put in my life. So I think that that's, yeah, I just, I'm super grateful. So I want other people to have that same experience. I want our kids to have that same experience. And I hope that they do.
It's probably a joy as well for coaches when, okay, you have an idea, whether you've coached them before, or as you mentioned, sometimes you have newcomers that you're learning about when camp opens in November or open gyms or whatever. And you sort of start to materialize in your head what this person can do for the program, whether it's a giant piece of the puzzle or just a small piece.
Right.
When they go above, when they meet that and go above, man, that's got to be a special feeling. I hate to use the word overachieve, but when they excel, right, and almost demand a bigger piece of the puzzle.
Right. No, you're absolutely true. Or just even when you see things click, right? Like you see a click and you see them getting it and then applying it, those kind of things are so rewarding. And I'm going to be honest, as we were sitting here talking, I was thinking, like, it's been a long time, right? So you have some kids that stick with your program that don't get to be on the floor, right? They just are practicing with you. And those kids are the most amazing to me, that they will do it for 4 years. And the ones that stay really are positive and know their role and do a tremendous job. And to me, I give those kids the most credit, right? Because that's hard, but they really want to be a part of it. And there's so many things that are beneficial to everyone. I think that's really great when you get a kid who's buying in, and it's not about the playing time or this and that. It's just being a part of that program. And we've had some of them, and they come back to games still. And I'm always like, I'm super appreciative of that, because, you know, you can be resentful. You could be, you know what I mean? There's a lot of things, or not play. And the ones that choose to do it, it just always is special for me.
Danny Holzer of Upper St. Clair calls them career program players that, you know, either have to wait their turn and eventually get a turn, or maybe that turn never comes, but they're content with playing bit roles. And really, to be honest with you, especially when you look at the collegiate level nowadays, that's a dying breed. I mean, you know, now it's what can you do for me now? What am I getting now?
Right.
And if I don't like what I'm getting now here, I'll go somewhere else.
Right.
Looking to get it. And, you know, especially with, you know, parents chirping in the kids' ears, it's tougher and tougher, I think, to have those kind of players that help mold winning programs.
Right. I don't disagree with you. But they're still out there. And you know what I mean? They're still out there. And it sort of happens, like, you know, I think kids kind of get an idea. You know, we had, and I don't think it's a negative, but we had kids doing us as a secondary sport, which is awesome. And then they just realize it's a lot, but they still come back to games and stuff. I mean, we have 13 freshmen on our team this year, which is a ton.
Wow.
Yeah. But they won't all be back. I mean, not even by just like, oh, maybe this isn't for me, and that's okay. But the ones that stay, you know, you're super appreciative. But I also appreciate the ones that realize maybe this isn't for me. If I can't do this with the right attitude, you know, I need to move on to my other thing. So
before we start talking more specifically about the Trojans, we're talking a lot of generalizations. One thing I wanted to ask you, because you are a seasoned veteran, the defensive side of the game nowadays, especially on the girls' side, I think the players are so much more advanced than 10, 20, 30 years ago. There's more of them, I think,
right,
that are special players and really know the game, love the game, play the game at a high level. So they can score the basketball. We know that. But we're seeing so many low-scoring, grinded-out games, especially this time of year, February, right, March. And to me, my philosophy is, well, these kids, it's not like offense has gone out the door. But to me, coaches have now really leaned more on defense and teach – defenses, teach ways to battle, to go up against the dribble drive, the drive kick out three, to the point where now even talented scorers are struggling because there's such an emphasis on defenses around the district. And I'm sure it's around various other districts as well, because defense always plays, right? You might not have that 30-point-a-night, 20-point-a-night score, but if you can lock down every night, you're going to have a chance to win. Have you noticed that as well in recent years?
Yes, and I think that also by this time of year, there's so much film out there and you can go see kids. You know what I mean? Like, you know tendencies and you know strong points and you know actions that they're running. So, you know, you can work on defending those. So I think you can control that, right? Because that's what your energy and level and understanding what they're going to do. So I think this time of year that plays into it as well. But that's what I've always said. I mean, it's so cliche, right? But defense and rebounding don't take any talent. I mean, that's not defensively, you've got to be able to move your feet. And some of that is just God given, but you can work on that and you can work on positioning. And, you know, so I think if you bring good energy on the defensive end, you're going to have a good chance of being in any game.
Yeah. The one thing that, that a lot of it's getting, you know, the kids know that the highlights are in the offense, hitting that three, getting the steal and the layup. But again, the steal part is important too, playing defense. It's want,
right.
You know, I want to go, want to attack the glass. I want to play, drag out defense. And when you get kids, talented kids to buy into that, goodness gracious, you're doing something right.
Right.
You know, you talk about tendencies real quick. I'm not going to name the player. I was courtside, for a state playoff game Friday night. And, young man's, you know, he's the top guy on his team. He's dribbling up and down. And the other opposing coach is yelling, he can't go left. He can't go left. He can't go left. So a couple minutes later, ball out of bounds. So he's inbounding the ball right next to the visiting bench. And he says, he turns and quietly says, by the way, coach, I can go left. Inbounds the ball, gets the basketball back, and drives left down the lane and lays it up and in.
That's kind of funny. Fantastic. That is kind of funny.
You have a very special player, Elena Rocco, Jim Rat, you know, her dad, Jim Rocco, the outstanding coach at North Catholic, formerly Penn Hills and Penn Trafford. It probably is such a blessing to have a player like that who is almost, I mean, you hear it all the time, and I think it's true sometimes, maybe not all the time, but it's like having another coach out on the floor, but just because of how high their basketball IQ is.
Right. And it absolutely is. I mean, Elena is, she's an amazing kid. Like, if you get to talk to her, I mean, the most humble kid on the face of the earth, you would never even know. And then, you know, she goes on the floor and can do so much. Mm. But, you know, she'll come in and she'll be like, I think that, you know, if you create this gap, or I can do this, or I can, you know, it she'll help, you know, with eyes on the floor, understanding. I mean, and that's, you can't teach that, right? There's nothing and to have that out there. And I do think, like, coaches' kids tend to have been around it for forever. And I know her and her dad, he's worked with her, coached her. They've gone probably and seen thousands of basketball games on their own as well as watching it. So she just really has a love of the game and understanding that is phenomenal. She does everything. And this year, I think she kind of realized that she had to be the go-to person offensively because she likes it, but she has never been one to excessively look or force or do anything. And I think she kind of realized this year that she had to be that go-to person, and she's been phenomenal about it. But she works on her game relentlessly. Mm.
She has had a tremendous career. It's winding down, but
sadly
outstanding. Yeah. Well, sadly. Probably opponents are thrilled
that, right,
it's winding down, and I'm sure she's going to have great success at the next level. She's going to Ivy League, isn't she?
Harvard, yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow.
Yeah.
I should get her on just to break down pi or something like that. And she'll start with all these mathematical equations, and I'll be like, no, I was talking apple pie. That's more my area. So you guys get to the championship at the Peak. You win another WPL title in a battle, as you mentioned earlier, with Blackhawk, 40-37 in OT. What really stood out about that game and a big reason why the Trojans were able to win more gold?
I thought our defense excelled. I really do. Thank goodness we got killed on the boards, which was a problem. We usually do a better job rebounding, but Hupp is really tough inside to handle. So I thought we did a nice job on the defensive end of getting some stops, creating turnovers, which was helpful to us. And I do think having Sarah, who's our junior, who also is a coach's kid, and Sarah Lockery and Elena on the floor as calming presence and understanding time and score and what we were doing was huge. Although he has seniors too, but I feel like we played really good defense that game. I was most proud of our defensive effort for sure.
So having been there, done that, I've talked to a couple of coaches who have also been there, done that, you know, winning a WPL championship. And then you get that week before the start of the state playoffs. And the one coach made a good point. He told me that the biggest thing was the practices, the refocus, right? Because it is tough. That's a major achievement to win a district championship. The high of winning it at a great facility like the Peterson Event Center, in front of big crowds, to then, you know, sort of have to reset and the practices are disjointed or unfocused or whatever. Because you've been blessed to have been able to do that, you know, rebound from a WPL championship so many times, is that a real thing, that WPIL championship funk or whatever you want to call it? And what do you do to combat it?
I do think it is a real thing. The Whitfield does such a great job of making it a huge event, right? Yeah. I mean, some districts I've been to, some to scout, and I'm like, this is it? Wow. But the Whitfield does a great job with it. So we're super thankful about that because it makes it so fun and exciting, and what a great venue to be able to play in. And it is very real. And we always schedule a scrimmage during that week. And I always feel bad because we always stink. Like, it's embarrassing almost. Like, I'm like, they're probably wondering, like, this team just won. I mean, it is literally every year. I mean, this one was not as bad as it is. I'll never forget the one year we went and played Jen O'Shea and Tim Joyce at Fox Chapel. And I think, and they might have been Canada, we were held scoreless for like three quarters. I'm like, this is so embarrassing. But I've come to realize it. That's just so. To me, getting that scrimmage in and getting it over and done with, and then refocusing and getting ready has been the key for us, at least.
Well, you had to be thrilled. I mean, the start, you can't get a better start than what you guys had against District 10 Conneaut in your first round state playoff game, 20-2 after one quarter. Again, you got to be thrilled with that.
Yeah. I mean, yes, that was a good start. Although I did call a timeout, and it sounds silly, but I was like, our defense wasn't good. We weren't focused, and people think you're crazy because I'm in the huddle yelling like a crazy lady and you're winning 20-2, but it's about getting better, right? No matter what, the idea is to get better, and we're not coasting through anything at this point. So, and we're going to have our work cut out for us against Warren on Wednesday.
So the girls must have totally focused their game on defense after that rah-rah speech, because you guys didn't score a point in the fourth quarter. Is that right?
We either didn't or we scored two, but we put some of our other kids in to get some, right? That's a great time to get some. It's like she left her starters in, and that's what I said to them. This is not by any means like throwing you a bone. Like, this is a make worthy of your time and get better. Yeah. I didn't really expect her to put a full court press on them, but you know, they did and we weathered it. But yeah,
it is experience, right?
It's total experience. It's yeah, absolutely. So it was a good, great quality time.
You've been involved, you sort of make an interesting point there, and I've heard, no matter what sport, you can hear this in football, but basketball, about one-sided games and when do you pull the plug as the leading team? When do you pull the plug as the trailing team? And I get when you're winning big, you still got to get your starters so much playing time. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to pull the plug out after one half, especially this time of year.
Right.
You know, it's maybe a little different, in January, but, and then if you're the trailing team, you know, if the starters pull, do you pull or do you keep your starters out there and how do you play? There's really no rule of thumb, so to speak. I know some coaches have told me that they will, the leading team, when he sees the trailing team take his starters out, he'll take his out. But that's, again, not a rule of thumb. I mean, it can be tough for all parties involved in those kind of situations, I would imagine.
Right. Especially this time of year and after having sat for a week, we needed – so
right.
We left our kids in for three quarters. I mean, with subbing and that sort of thing, but we needed three good quarters of playing to get our legs back. And I agree. There's a variety of things that people do. And a lot of times it depends. It depends on who you're playing, et cetera. Sometimes I'll wait till they do pull their starters. But at this point, I think it was 45 to 10. And if one of my kids had gotten hurt in at that point, you reflect back like that was really dumb. So, yes. We just try to figure out like where we're at and then, you know, and then we try to put some young kids in with some veterans so that they, you know, get some time and get their legs under them and get some quality. So, yeah, it's a fine line.
Wednesday, you mentioned Warren up next, the District 10 runner-up Dragons at Edinburgh University. You've begun the process of preparing for them, and what sticks out about them?
They are Energizer Bunnies. Like they are pressing. They pressed Elizabeth Ford the entire game, full court man, doubling, tripling, T-bowling all over the place. Then they do a little 1-2-2. Can't talk 1-2-2 half court. Their best player is a coach's daughter, and she's the youngest daughter that's played through there. So she, you know what I mean? Like she's a coach's kid. So you really would talk about having someone on the floor who knows what's going on. So I think, you know, making sure we are aware of her is a big key. And, you know, I think we have to handle the pressure, and I think we have to play some defense.
Edinburgh University Wednesday, Warren against North Catholic. Molly, always a pleasure talking basketball, talking cooking, talking life with you.
Always my pleasure. I appreciate it. I look forward to it. You know, sometimes you just never even ask me, and then I'm sad until the next season.
Well, you know what? Next time you get the itch, you now you know that all you have to do is text me and you get whatever you want. So there you go.
There you go. There you go.
Molly, congrats again on the WPL championship and best of luck over the next few weeks in your search for a PIAA championship.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate it. Appreciate all you guys do. Really, the Tribs coverage is really awesome. So thank you.
Greatly appreciate it. Take care.
Take care.
All right, Molly Rotman of the North Catholic Trojans. Just fun just talking basketball, whether we're talking Trojan basketball or basketball in general. She brings a great perspective to many different things. We talked 6A, 5A, 4A, second round matchups involving WPIL teams in our Player of the Week podcast, Rachel Manfredo of McKeesport. Check that out. So now we'll do 3A, 2A, and Class A. These are second round games. 3A, these are on Tuesday. And there are four District 7 teams still remaining. None of them are going head-to-head. Shadyside Academy, WPL champs, will be taking on Northwestern from District 10. That game is at Sharon High School at 7:30 on Tuesday. Seton LaSalle taking on Westmont Hilltop from District 6. That game is at Hempfield High School at 6 p.m. Avonworth, the runners-up in the WPIL, will take on District 6 champion Forest Hills. That game is at Gateway at 6 o'clock. And Neshanic will be taking on District 10 champion Mercyhurst Prep. That game at Sharon High School before the Shadyside Academy Northwestern game. Lancers and Lakers at 6 p.m. On Tuesday. Now, in Class 2A, these are also Tuesday. The WPIL still has three district teams remaining. Greensburg Central Catholic, the champs, they will be taking on West Middlesex out of District 10 at North Allegheny Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Southside, they had a great run in the WPIL playoffs, still alive after round one of the state playoffs. The Rams will be taking on District 5 champion Everett. That game at Greensburg-Salem High School on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And Clareton goes up against Bishop McCourt out of District 6. That game at Norwin High School at 7:30. Finally, Class A second round. These games are on Wednesday. Defending state champion Union will take on Northern Bedford at Hempfield High School at 5:30. The doubleheader at Hempfield features St. Joe's, the runners-up in the district, taking on District 5 champion Berlin Brothers Valley, Hempfield High School at 7 p.m. And those are the only two teams remaining in Girls A, the two finalists from the WPIL Union and St. Joe's. All right, that'll do it. Thanks to Chris Slackner, our producer. Thanks to Molly Rotman of North Catholic, our girls basketball team of the week. Thank you for joining us on the road to Hershey here on the Trib Live High School Sports Network.